of Hebrews chapter 1, and we'll read the first six verses. Our Advent focus this year is going to be from these verses in Hebrews 1. So we begin that today, in the next 2 weeks. Let's hear God's word. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For to which of the angels did he ever say, "You are my son, today I have begotten you"? And again, "I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son"? But when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, "Let all the angels of God worship him." We'll end our reading there this morning. Beloved, one of the key ideas of Christianity is that of revelation. There's what we call the general revelation, the revelation of nature, creation, that is to all people. And then there's the special revelation, the word of God that comes to those who read and hear it. But whether we're speaking of creation or the word, both general and special revelation come from God, and they reveal who God is. And the only reason we can know anything is because God allows us to know it, to learn of it. He reveals it. And this is what the author to the Hebrews wants to encourage the people with. God speaks. The Hebrews were a group of people, Jews facing trial and questions. They were Jews who were believing in Jesus Christ, but in a sense, being the exception, a small group in a challenging culture. They were pressured, and this trial was ongoing, and we don't know the questions they had, but reading the letter that comes to them, we can imagine some of the questions they had. Did God know, realize? Did God care? Would God answer them? Do you imagine a small group of Hebrew Christians gathering one day together and the announcement's made, we have a letter to read, and the letter's opened? God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to our fathers by the prophets, is speaking today. God speaks. Now, I'm sure there are now, just as there were those then who said, well, that's the past, right? That's a long time ago. It was by the prophets. It's not very clear language. It's vague. It's distant. It seems to be in fragments, and there's no long, sustained answer to my questions. We look back to the Old Testament and we think that was an inferior way of speaking. There was nothing visible. We want something we are able to press replay on so that it just loops over and over again. There's stories of those who've gone into great cathedrals and looked at all the stained glass windows, absorbed the message of it all, and in silence said, "God, speak to me." And there was nothing. And maybe that's sometimes the way you feel. You come to church and you say, "God, speak to me," and there's nothing. Or you go through a week like the past week and there's only nothing. There's only silence. And the question is, does God speak? And we want to focus on that this morning. Through Hebrews 1, verse 1, and just the first part of verse 2. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son. God has spoken at various times throughout history. Go all the way back to what we have as the beginning in Genesis. Immediately after sin enters the world, God speaks. God said to the serpent, "I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head." And yes, sin continues, but after the flood, God speaks to Noah, saying, "As for me, I establish my covenant with you." And yes, there's sin, and the people are in Egypt, in slavery. But God speaks to Moses and says, "Say to Israel, I am the Lord. I will redeem you and I will take you as my people." Sin pervades. Come to Judges. After everyone's doing what's right in their own eyes, God speaks and says, "You shall conceive and bear a son. He shall begin to deliver Israel." In Isaiah, after the people were warned of punishment and exile, God speaks and says, "Comfort, yes, comfort my people," says your God. "Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is ended, her iniquity is pardoned." God has spoken at various times throughout history. And what is He speaking? God has spoken in various ways throughout history. Again, go all the way back to creation. God said, "Let there be light," and there was. And God spoke to Abram through the covenant. And God spoke to Jacob through an angel. And God spoke to the nation of Israel through the law. And God spoke to Samuel by calling his name in the middle of the night. And God spoke to Elijah, not in the storm, but in a whisper. And God spoke to Daniel through dreams. And God spoke to Ezekiel through visions. A variety of ways. And yes, the word of God comes to the people by the prophets, saying, "A virgin shall conceive and bear a son and call his name Emmanuel." You see, the Old Testament is in the past. And it's history and it's song and it's genealogy and it's poetry, and there's practical wisdom and there's philosophical wisdom. But all of it is God speaking, pointing to His Son. And we can go from Genesis to Malachi and understand there's increasing clarity. Amos gives direct words from God. Jonah has a simple message he repeats over and over. Haggai preaches sermons. Zechariah uses colorful imagery. Malachi using questions and answers. But this is what the prophets are speaking, not because of them. But what does Peter say? Holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And this is the Spirit's response. This is the Spirit speaking then today. And it's, yes, in a variety of ways, a variety of times, but it comes together as a most eloquent message. And do we realize the significance of the at various times and in various ways? One commentator put it this way: the significance of this immensely creative and variegated communication is that it dramatically demonstrates God's loving desire to communicate with all people. It's never boring. It's never bland. It's never inscrutable. It's never irrelevant. It's always adequate. It's always in continuity with the previous words. And here's this whole collection today then. To those who think poetry, here's some poetry. To those who think history, here's some history. To those who think in connecting the dots, and here's genealogy. But it's eclectic, and it's beautiful, and it's promising. And yes, the Hebrews of the New Testament are to remember that God, in various ways, has spoken. And they're to be encouraged by that. You see, it is a matter of faith. Do you believe God is speaking? In not just today, but do you believe God was speaking all throughout the Old Testament, pointing towards His Son? Do you remember the parable of the rich man and Lazarus? Right, they both die, and the rich man died and was in a place of torment, and he begged that someone would be able to go back to his father's house and warn his five brothers. They must hear so that they don't come to this place of torment. Please send somebody to warn them. And what was the answer that Jesus gave in that parable? They have Moses and the prophets. Your brothers should listen to them. And if they don't hear Moses and the prophets, they won't be persuaded even if one would rise from the dead. Jesus rose from the dead. And we know they weren't persuaded by that either. But you see, today we're looking back not just on the Old Testament, but we're looking back on the resurrection and the life of Jesus and the Old Testament. And we have Moses and the prophets and Jesus. Will we hear Him? Because God is speaking in these days by His Son. God speaking by His Son so clearly. And as we think of this as Advent, God speaking, "My Son, you need to know. There is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Or the prologue in John: "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." God is speaking to us today through His Son. "And the Word became flesh, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." God speaking through His Son, grace, truth in Him. Jesus is baptized, he rises from the water, and a voice comes from heaven. And the voice says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." God speaks through his Son clearly. And what's the message? The message is you need to pay attention to my Son. And then we could say God speaks by his Son loudly, with a loud message. I'm not saying that he yells, but the message is a loud one. Right? Jesus goes into fields and towns preaching the gospel. He does miracles proving his divinity. I am the light of the world. I am the bread of heaven. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the door. You might not even see it, but what does Jesus say? I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. A loud message. Everyone who sees my Son and believes in him can have everlasting life. And Jesus, at the end of his time on earth, is praying, tells the Father, I have given them the words which you have given me, and they've received them, and have known surely that I come forth from you, and they've believed that you sent me. You see, we need to be clear that God is speaking through Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ comes and the message is a loud message. But God also is speaking by his Son sensibly. Right? Jesus comes and he says, follow me. Don't follow an idea. But walk with me in my footsteps. And then there's the call to hear with your ears. It's called to see and behold. There's the call to taste and see that God is good. And the call to hear comes, and the call to see comes, and the call to Thomas to touch comes. And then we add to that taste and smell. And all these things come together in the sacrament, don't they? Most sensibly, God is speaking by his Son. Do this in remembrance of me. And we celebrate the sacrament today with this awareness, God is speaking through his Son. This, to the Hebrews, this is the remedy, the hope, the medicine that your souls need. God speaks clearly, loudly, sensibly. Why? So that you would see and understand his heart. His speech reveals his heart. His Son reveals his heart. This is God's character displayed. His desire. With fervent desire, I desire to eat this with you, Jesus said to the disciples. But you see, as God speaks to us today, it's with this continued persevering love and this continued persevering patience and this continued persevering desire for repentance and faith. It's a most eloquent message. And it's a simple message. God, in these last days, is speaking to us through his Son. In him, everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life. Do you believe what God is speaking? Amen.